Welcome across America and around the world to the hour of the time. This is the only hour that ever was or ever will be. This is the most important hour in your entire life, for during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. You are listening to this broadcast, folks, because you can't help it. You've heard several editions of the Hour of the Time now, and you've learned that you cannot predict at all what you're going to hear on this show. You've already learned that you're going to hear things on this show that you will not ever hear anywhere else in any media, print, broadcast, television, I don't care. The reason is I don't owe anybody anything, period. I only have me to answer to. And I'm not a professional broadcaster, folks. No, this is something I'm doing because the opportunity arose to educate mass numbers of people around the world. And so I took it. If they cut me off and throw me off the air tomorrow, it won't mean a hill of beans to me. So holding the threat of losing this means nothing either. You see, the reason you don't hear information like you hear on the Hour of the Time on other radio broadcasts or on television or in the print is because those people have a vested interest in the furtherance of their career. They are professional journalists, professional television commentators, or professional radio hosts. It is amazing to me that you really believe that there's a free press anywhere in the world. The truth, folks, is that the only free press is for those who own the press. You'd better understand that. For instance, for many, many years now, efforts have been made by brave congressmen to introduce and have bills passed to audit the Federal Reserve, to abolish the Federal Reserve and return to constitutional money, yet you have never seen any hint of that anywhere in any media. Last Sunday night, on this radio show, The Hour of the Time, you heard, for the first time, a complete, logical, accurate, and scientific explanation of the truth about the ozone hoax. And you've never heard it anywhere else, and you never will hear it anywhere else, and we're going to continue with that tonight because there's more information about the ozone hoax, and there is more information about CFCs and who's responsible for wanting them banned and who's going to profit by all of this. And you'll only hear it here, folks, nowhere else. Nowhere else. And because you never know what you're going to hear on this show, even for those of you who may hate this show, and who may have a strong dislike for me personally, you will always listen to this show because it's exciting, because you hear information you can't hear anywhere else, and because when you go and try to prove me wrong, you always learn that I am right. But you have to understand, my constant admonition to you all is this, and you must obey this admonition for your own good. You must not believe ever anything that you hear on this show, or on the Chuck Harder show, or the Tom Valentine show, or the Larry King show, or from Dan Rather, or Ted Koppel, or from George Bush, Bill Clinton, H. Ross Perot, or indeed even your own mother. But irregardless, you will always continue to listen to this show because you can't help yourself. Many of you are thirsting for knowledge, and this is the only place you're going to get a lot of it, aside from your own efforts. With your own efforts, you can dig out anything that I can give you here. But I can help you and steer you on the right track and give you hints and clues and give you information to go and try and prove wrong. And in the process, you will learn many things that you would not ever have known without that process. I know that many of you out there have been helping me in this fight for a long time, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And those of you who are not helping in this fight, I hope that this program can stimulate you to begin. But in either case, you will always be here listening because you belong to me.
You better stop the fight.
belong to me. And if you don't believe that, try not listening to this show next Sunday night. Just try it. See if you can do it. I guarantee you can't. You will be listening. Now, we've got something else to talk about here, folks, because remember what I told you? A nation, a world of people who cannot use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. Let me tell you something. If you can't think for yourself, we don't want you listening to this show. This show is for people who think for themselves. People who go out and verify information for themselves or prove it wrong for themselves. We don't want people listening to this show if they have to ask somebody else if they should listen to this show, or if the show is credible, or if I am credible. Those of you who have called Tom Ballantyne and Chuck Harder to ask if you should listen to this show, or if I am credible, or if the information I give on this show is credible, you are not the kind of people that this show is meant for. Indeed, you're fools, because you need somebody else to tell you what to do. You cannot use your brain or think for yourself, and we only have one piece of advice for those of you who fit that bill. Only one, and absolutely only one. And this is exactly what I want you people to do. Anybody's little puppets listening to this radio show. No, sir. We need people who can think for themselves. People who cannot think for themselves are always controlled by somebody else, are always little puppets hanging by the end of someone's string, and when that person pulls that string, that little puppet always dances. Always. So, if you can't think for yourself, if you've got to call somebody and ask them if you should listen to this show, especially after I've told you who's behind this and what they worship, the sun, Osiris, the light, Lucifer, Satan, and you call somebody who works for the Sun Radio Network to ask them if I'm credible. Oh boy, people, you really take the cake, some of you. This show is for thinkers, individual thinkers, people who can use their brains, people who have a chance to save this country and thus freedom for the world. Well, last Sunday, folks, you heard about the ozone hoax, and I'm just going to recap for just a few seconds because I'm going to continue with where last week left off so that you will be able to understand what's going on. You learned last week that there is no ozone layer, could better be called an ozonosphere, where the effect can be measured of where ultraviolet light rays meet molecules of oxygen, and that it is really oxygen that protects us from the ultraviolet light of the sun and not ozone. Ozone is a byproduct of the chemical reaction of the ultraviolet light from the sun striking oxygen molecules, splitting them into their ionic components, which then seek out other oxygen molecules and attach themselves, forming O3, which is ozone. It's very simple. It's in most junior high textbooks, or it was at least when I went to junior high school. May not be there now because they're destroying our educational system so that the people can never challenge the ruling elite. You also learn that the ozone holes really aren't holes, but are a place near the poles where this effect does not take place. The only place where the so-called ozone holes occur are near the poles in the Arctic and Antarctic circles. The holes only occur, folks, in winter at whichever point is experiencing winter. They occur where the Earth's tilt causes perpetual night during the winter months and where no ultraviolet light is coming into contact with oxygen. Therefore, no ozone is formed. So they're not ozone holes. They're just merely a place in the atmosphere near the poles where the effect does not take place. Therefore, no ozone is formed, except by the normal methods of lightning in the atmosphere and other discharges of energy. Thus, there is no production of ozone. Another so-called hole will predictably appear at the other pole region when that hemisphere is in its winter months. You should know by now that they are not holes at all, but only areas where the ozone-producing chemical reaction between ultraviolet light and oxygen does not occur. You should have also deduced from this process that the so-called holes will seem to appear and disappear as the region moves from winter into summer and then back again into winter. The whole process is a natural cycle. It is predictable and is very simple to understand. Didn't you think it was funny that the ozone holes were always over the poles and not over Los Angeles where everybody's using hairspray and all the CFCs are going up into the atmosphere? How stupid can you all be? It's incredible that you read something in a newspaper and just accept it as fact without questioning anything when you know damn well that there is no freedom of press except for the owners, and the owners of the press will print what they want you to believe and not objective facts ever. Wake up, people. The scam that CFCs deplete the ozone layer, which is non-existent, can be easily exposed. You see, most of the CFCs in the world can be found in the northern hemisphere, where most of the rich nations are located. So why, then, does a so-called hole appear over Antarctica every southern hemisphere winter? Why not over New York, Tokyo, Paris, Los Angeles, or Stockholm, where these CFCs are in the most use and thus can be found in the atmosphere in the largest amount? Why does Los Angeles spend hundreds of millions of dollars to deplete the ozone in the atmosphere directly above the city every year? And did you know that most major cities in the world spend hundreds of millions of dollars to deplete the ozone? In other words, destroy the ozone in the atmosphere above their cities? You weren't aware of that, did you? Well, if you don't believe me, call and find out. Call and find out. That's what I did. Very simple. You see, because ozone is considered to be pollution. Oh, this is so hilarious. I'm telling you, folks. I can't help but laugh at all the sheeple out there that are just so stupid they'll believe anything that anybody tells them. It blows my mind. I can't comprehend how people can be so. The word is not ignorant, folks. The word is really stupid, mentally crippled, stupid. And this is just one example. You're going to hear a lot of examples on this show. And if you don't like that word stupid, you better change your dial right now because you're going to hear it a lot. You got to wake up. And if you can't look at yourself and admit that you've been stupid, you're never going to wake up and you're never going to solve the problem. That's what I had to do. I had to look in the mirror, look right in my own eyes and say, Bill, you've been stupid for most of your life and you've got to change that now. You see, if I hadn't admitted to myself that I've been stupid most of my life, I would have never changed anything and I wouldn't be doing this tonight. So, why do we only find these so-called holes over the poles and not over New York, Tokyo, Paris, Los Angeles, or Stockholm? Is it because the few personnel stationed at the weather and research facilities at Antarctica use too much hairspray? Why is it that I am able to predict the exact locations and months that the so-called holes will appear and disappear over the Arctic and Antarctic? Because the whole thing is a hoax, folks, designed to make idiots who cannot think for themselves scream for total control of everything and thus help to usher in the one-world totalitarian socialist government. Let us take a real hard look at chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs. For according to the doomsday prophets, chlorofluorocarbon molecules are going to rise to the stratosphere where ultraviolet radiation will break them up, releasing chlorine molecules which will act like a hungry cookie monster and eat all the ozone molecules. This, of course, will cause an ozone hole and everyone will get skin cancer, right? Wrong. Totally wrong. Now, let's look at what they don't tell you. According to measurements, only 1% of CFCs actually break up in the stratosphere. So that 7,500 tons of chlorine, remember that number, 7,500 tons of chlorine, are being released into the stratosphere every year. That's for the whole atmosphere in a year's time. That's the total destructive force of chlorofluorocarbons. 7,500 tons of chlorine. The amount of chlorine spewed into the atmosphere from natural sources makes that measly 7,500 tons look like a drop in the ocean. The atmosphere, folks, absorbs 5 million tons of chlorine from ocean biota, algae, plankton, etc., 84 million tons from biomass burning, 36 million tons from volcanoes, and 600 million tons from seawater. This does not include a volcano like Mount Pinatubo, which loaded at least 20 million tons of chlorine into the atmosphere, of which a very significant portion went into the stratosphere. Mount Erebus in Antarctica, which erupts every day, emits 20 times more chlorine into the atmosphere than the entire amount of chlorine allegedly produced from the breakdown of CFCs. Mount Erebus is about 6 miles upwind from McMurdo Sound, the station from which chlorine measurements are taken. The readings are then used to claim that CFCs, not natural chlorine sources, cause the depletion of the ozone layer. It really does not matter, as ozone is not layered in the atmosphere, and it is not what shields us from those nasty, nasty little ultraviolet rays. No, no, it's the oxygen. The case is exactly the same with halogens. The doomsayers want all halogen fire extinguishers banned because they produce bromine. This chemical is supposed to be a super ozone destroyer. In fact, 10 times more dangerous than CFCs. Well, then why don't the fire departments of cities like Los Angeles and other large cities who are trying to deplete the atmosphere use only halogen fire extinguishers to put out fires? The actual amount of bromine released is very insignificant, perhaps not even measurable, because most of the bromine that's actually in halogen is destroyed in a chemical reaction during fire suppression. That's why. On top of that, they never have a life long enough in the atmosphere that's necessary to even get up to the stratosphere. Ozone levels over a measured period of time shows a clear oscillation from year to year. If you compare the cycle in ozone levels with the number of sunspots over the same period, the correlation is clear. An 11-year and a 22-year cycle is in ozone levels, matching the sunspot cycle, are clearly evident. A major influence on the density of ozone in the atmosphere is sunspots, solar flares, in other words, the influence of the sun. It is how ozone is created in the first place. Billions of ions of ozone are created every instant and are destroyed every instant. In 1988, the Ozone Trends Panel, the people that you've all been listening to like a bunch of idiots, without verifying anything, without demanding any scientific papers to back it up, without question, In 1988, this ozone trends panel released a report supposedly documenting that there had been a 3% depletion of the ozone layer over the northern hemisphere. They gave a press conference. They handed out a summary of the report. But the report itself did not come out for another 3 years. Did you hear that, folks? The report itself did not come out for another 3 years. And when it did came out, what it said was actually different from what they reported at the press conference. But it scared you all, scared everybody, and it got everything into motion that was necessary to ban CFCs without any scientific evidence, no scientific papers, no real scientific factual correlation, without even issuing a report for 3 years. It got everybody going to ban CFCs. Then they gave a whole sequence of conferences after that with the same modus operandi. They gave a press conference in April 1991 that claimed 8% ozone depletion. No scientific paper to follow it up. No peer review of the data. And then last October, they gave another press conference where they claimed something very similar, but again with no report, nothing published in the scientific literature. And the great herds of sheeple mobilized to save the ozone layer and ban CFCs. The wolf is at the door, folks. And since most of you are sheep, you're going to be eaten. That's what wolves do to sheep. Especially foolish, stupid sheep. In the 1988 press conference, the Ozone Trends Panel picked a very curious date, 1969, to start their analysis of worldwide ozone data. And they ended in 1985. 17 years are 1.5 solar cycles later. Remember what we said about the solar cycles, 11 and 22 year cycles? If you draw a straight line from 1969 to 1985, you get the ozone depletion that they claim. But if they had used the 22-year period between 1962 and 1985, there's hardly any change at all. It's entirely a decision of what date they picked to begin their measurements, one of the most critical features of how they've been manipulating public opinion. Well, while you think about those facts and figures, we're going to take a short break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Now, that didn't take too long, did it? Another way the Ozone Trends Panel manipulated their data to scare the public involves the enormous variability in the ozone in the atmosphere from day to day, month to month, and at different times of the year. So you didn't know that, did you? Changes from day to day. The density of the ozone in the atmosphere over the northern hemisphere in March, folks, is much greater than in October of the same year. A 40% difference, in fact, and it happens every year according to the natural cycles previously described. The panel started measuring in the time of year when the ozone is densest and stopped in the part of the year when it is the least dense. And they knew exactly what they were doing. Again, these groups are manipulating the data intentionally to scare the public into believing there is a danger which does not actually exist. Aren't you all scared? The sky is falling.
Cut the fat off the back of a baboon. Boil it down to a pound, get a spoon. To die for a fly flying backwards. Take the jaws and the paws off a tomb. Take your time, I ain't lying for good cooking. Cause the rest of this mess ain't good looking. Take the fleas from the knees of a demon. Say your pals and gals will come to me. To the feet, put the feet to the mouth out. They make wine from the spine of their bones out. It's a test for the bat for whose sake. At the feet, put the feet to the mouth out. Brush your teeth with a piece of a goose toenail. the death, steal the breath of a drunken jail. Pull the skin off your friend with a razor blade. In tonight, change tomorrow, bring back yesterday. Take your hip, bite your lip, and shoot your mother-in-law. Put on your gorilla suit, drink some elbow soup, and have them all. Get it straight, don't be late, it's time for mad fun. Beast of the Mile Mouth has begun. Ah! I just beat with the Beast of the Mile Mouth. They make wine for the fine and it goes out. The best for the best for who stays. At the feast with the Beast of the Mile Mouth. At the feast with the Beast of the Mile Mouth. How they talk, man? They go like this. And how do the women talk? What you want when you want to tell them you want some more to eat, man? Well, how about give me some more of that meat there? And pass me some of the inside of that pie. And spread some sweat on it, you know, in between the toes. Yeah, stop it from there. But who? Don't taste good, man. Give me some more of that inside soul. Yeah. That's what you mean you ain't got no more soul. Keep on eating, man. Ah! Beast of the Mile Mouth. They make wine from the spine of their bone down. They stick their thumb in their eyeballs and make peace of olives. Yeah, that's what's happening. Reach into his chest and pull out his ribs, man. Let me fight on that chest bone. Sock it to me one time. Give him, brother. Give him. Inside five, please. Can I have a fried ear? Oh, you don't love me, my brother.
That was Vice President-elect Al Gore with the number one environmental hit, Scare You.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. You're all supposed to be scared to death. Because there's holes in the ozone layer, and CFCs are gobbling the rest of them up like little Pac-Mans running through the sky. They also claim a drop-off in CFC concentrations going from 100 to 5 parts per trillion in just the first 2 or 3 kilometers upon entering the stratosphere. The ozone depletion proponents say the concentrations get lower because ultraviolet radiation is breaking up the CFC molecules, and the stratosphere is the only place where there are intense enough amounts of ultraviolet radiation to break down the CFC molecules. What a crock. The stratosphere starts around 25 kilometers above the Earth's surface, and very small amounts of ultraviolet radiation in the range necessary to break down CFC molecules get within 30 kilometers, folks. In order to find the significant concentrations of ultraviolet radiation that can break up CFC molecules, you've got to get above 40 kilometers. CFC molecules just don't make it up that high. They're heavy, heavy molecules. So it can't be ultraviolet radiation that's getting rid of the CFCs, which is then supposed to be releasing chlorine, which is then supposed to be destroying the imaginary ozone layer. Sorry, folks, it just ain't happening. It's not going on. You've been hoodwinked. A favorite Freemason term. You've been hoodwinked. Hoaxed, lied to, scammed. But you know what? If you weren't stupid, it could never have happened. When I use that word stupid, I'm not talking to those of you who do use your head, who can think, who are searching for the truth, and who do verify before believing. Nope. I'm talking to the stupid idiot that's sitting next to you. Another thing they conveniently omit is that the stratosphere is an inversion layer, which means that instead of getting colder with altitude, it gets warmer. And when you have warm air on top of cold air, the cold air is like a plug. It's why Los Angeles has a smog problem. The air cannot rise above the valley because of the inversion layer. The air remains trapped. Whatever air makes it to the upper part of the atmosphere comes right back down because of this plug. There is no evidence that they are being broken up. The big threat touted by the doomsayers is increased skin cancer, a blatant
and I mean blatant lie. The only reason skin cancer has risen is that the old taboos against being in the sun and sun tanning have fallen by the wayside. It wasn't too long ago when it was not cool to be out in the sun. It was not cool to have a suntan. And women were taught never, under any circumstances, let the sun touch your skin. In many, many cultures and many nations of the world, that was the rule. Right or wrong, that was the rule. The population of the world also has doubled just since 1957, and there are more people out in the sun and on beaches than ever in the history of the world. More light-skinned people have moved south or north, as the case may be, in order to enjoy milder winters. If a person living in the northern hemisphere moves south only 60 to 120 miles, it translates into an increase of 10 to 20% in ultraviolet radiation exposure. Didn't know that, did you? If you were to move from Tromsø, Norway, to Panama or Bombay, you're talking about an increase in ultraviolet radiation of more than 600%. According to the theory of those who want to scare you into the New World Order, for that is the only answer to this, were it real, a 1% ozone depletion means a 2% increase in ultraviolet radiation. But the data shows ultraviolet radiation actually decreased as much as 7% between 1974 and 1975, when these measurements were taken in the United States. When this study was released in Science magazine by Joseph Scotto of the National Cancer Institute, the only network in the world systematically measuring ultraviolet radiation, the government shut down the instruments. Let me read that again to you so you'll remember it. According to the theory of those who want to scare you into the New World Order, a 1% ozone depletion means a 2% increase in ultraviolet radiation. But the data shows ultraviolet radiation actually decreased as much as 7% between 1974 and 1975. When these measurements were taken in the United States, when this study was released in Science magazine by Joseph Scotto of the National Cancer Institute, the only network in the world systematically measuring ultraviolet radiation, the government shut down the instruments. CFC folks are being banned, yet nobody talks about the consequences of this action. Nobody. Have you ever thought what's going to happen when all the CFCs are banned? The fact is that the entire world food supply depends on what is called the cold chain, the network of refrigerated warehouses and refrigerators in homes, supermarkets, and so on that keep food from spoiling. The world already produces more than enough food to feed every man, woman, and child. The problem is that between 30 to 60% of it spoils every year, depending on the country. By truly banning the CFCs, effectively, you're going to have to scrap every refrigerator around the world. 1 billion home refrigerators, several hundred million commercial refrigerators or more, and it could mean a collapse of the worldwide cold chain and starvation for millions, maybe billions of people. But remember Global 2000? That's exactly what they want to happen. Remember, to make it worse, any potential drop-in substitute cannot presently be used in any existing equipment. So you've got to build entirely new equipment. And who benefits? Who benefits? Have you ever bothered to ask that question? We all lose. And who benefits? The multinational globalist corporations that belong to the members of the organizations that are bringing about the New World Order. The Illuminati. Those who manufacture new equipment and the chemical companies that could make hundreds of billions of dollars in revenues every year from the ban of CFCs. Hundreds of billions of dollars every year, folks. Where's that money going to come from? It's going to come right out of your pockets.
because all frozen food will have its price raised in order to pay for the new refrigeration equipment to keep it frozen and cool. And you're going to have to buy new freezers and new refrigerators and new air conditioners. And your cars are going to have to be retrofitted for a new air conditioner, if you want an air conditioner. And it's all going to come out of your pocket because you've fallen for one of the biggest hoaxes ever. Because you were too stupid to check on the data and see for yourself, you're going to pay through the nose. The ozone depletion theory is a fraud. There is no significant increase or decrease in ozone, no significant increase or decrease in ultraviolet radiation. The threat does not exist. It is not there. It has been proven time after time after time. There's one other thing that you need to know. The patents on chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs, are expiring. That means that anybody can now produce CFCs or chlorofluorocarbons, and much cheaper, so that the cost of having air conditioners in your car, in your home, having freezers and refrigerators in supermarkets, meat distribution plants, and in your home would be much cheaper. But it also means that the multinational globalist corporations who have held these patents will lose money. So they're developing replacements for chlorofluorocarbons that not only will cost more, but will make all of the old air conditioners, refrigerators, and freezers obsolete, and will create an entirely new business. And they will make hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars every year. So you see, folks, we had all better wake up. You know, irregardless of what you hear me say on this show, I care about each and every one of you deeply, or I would not be doing this. All of you who have sent in to join the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, I want to tell you that we have your letters. We are processing them. We will be getting the information and the materials out to you very shortly. And you're going to be excited to hear that we're going to issue press credentials to all CAGI members so that you can get into some places where you normally wouldn't be able to get into. And there'll be legitimate press credentials for you're going to be operating as an arm of the Hour of the Time and several other media sources who work with us. So remember that, and we're not giving you these credentials so that you can misuse them. They remain the property of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, and the first time that you misuse those credentials, we'll yank them from you. And you will have to return them because we'll pursue it, believe me. We're issuing these credentials based upon the fact that people who join CAGI care about this country are normally responsible individuals, and are not going to abuse these press credentials, but will use them to help us to gain more knowledge and information about what's going on around the world, and we'll be able to report to our members the truth as much as we possibly can, rather than what you get out of the controlled media. And if you don't believe the media is controlled by now, folks, you're lost. I can't help you anymore. Okay. For those of you who have not joined CAGI yet, I urge you to do so. This is not an organization. It's not militant. We don't issue orders to people. It's an intelligence organization to help learn what the real truth is amidst all the deception in this world. Our members are constantly gathering and evaluating information. They send it to this central place, which is here, and we disseminate it back out to the other members who don't have the information. Our members also get the CAGI newsletter, which is, as you've already heard, is where tonight's program came from, the CAGI newsletter for July 1st, 1992. And most of that information was submitted by two CAGI members, Pat and Chelsea from New Jersey. And we thank them. Now, why should you join CAGI? Because it is the number one intellectual, free-thinking group of people in the United States of America and most probably the world.
There's no control going on here. Nobody tells anybody what to do. All we ask is that everybody share information, and we share the information we have with our members. They also get a certificate. They get an identification card, which will allow them, upon presentation, to have substantial discounts on the price of admission to my lectures and workshops as I travel around the country. And, folks, when you come to one of my workshops, anybody else would charge you $400 or $500 to stand up and give you information for a solid 6 hours. I don't do that. The most that's ever been charged for one of my workshops has been $45. And CADU members get a substantial discount from that. Okay? And I can't tell you it's a set figure because it has to be negotiated with each promoter who calls me and wants me to come to a city. We have to negotiate the discount for CADU members, but it's always, always substantial, folks. CADU members also get complete access to our computer bulletin board database system, and they can access that by computer, by phone line. They also get pretty good access to me when they want to talk to me. It's pretty easy for CADU members to do that. It might be difficult for someone else. CADU members can also get tapes of this broadcast of the Hour of the Time, any tape, $5. $5, that's all. Anybody else pays $15. CADU members are going to get videotapes of my lectures and workshops and documentaries that I do at $30 per tape, plus postage and handling. Everybody else, folks, is going to pay $45 from those tapes effective tonight. The price of my book has been raised to $25 by the publisher. CADU members will still be able to get that book for $20, not the $25 that everybody else is going to have to pay. If you'd like to join CADU, send your membership fee, $45. That's $45 for your membership fee. Or just write us a letter and ask for an information packet. We'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to call Stan, he'll send you one out tomorrow. His number is 602-567-6109. 602-567-6109. If you'd like to send in your membership fee, $45, or if you'd like to write us a letter, send that to William Cooper, Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. A lot of other special deals for CADU members on here. Once a year, we're going to try to have a convention just for CADU, where we will have workshops and study groups and get to meet each other and socialize a little bit. From time to time, we mount expeditions to investigate certain phenomena or things that are going on in certain areas of the country, and it's always CADU members that I take along with me, and no one else gets to go, believe me. Occasionally, we have workshops out in these areas. We'll take other people, but you know, CADU members come at a greatly reduced rate. So think about it, folks. And remember, for that $45 membership fee that you send in to join CADU, you're going to realize substantial savings as you spend time with the Hour of the Time over the next few months and maybe possibly even years. That $45 is going to come back to you a thousandfold in the future. Send your $45 membership fee so that we can get everything out to you real quick. And we're really excited about being able to issue real press credentials to our CADU members so that they can help us gather the news and the real news. You know, a lot of what happens in these special events and when presidents give speeches and things that happen in cities, a lot of these things are covered by the news media, but they only print or disseminate selected portions which further their political viewpoint. CADU members are going to give us the facts objectively so that we can put that out to our members, and we will use a lot of it on this radio show. We're constantly digging. I myself live, eat, drink, research, reading,
investigation. We are constantly probing the limits of the envelope of information, if you will, to try to pop that bubble and find out what's on the other side of it. And no matter who you are, what you're doing, or what you think about the world or what's going to happen, you need to be a member of CAGI, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. It's the only intelligence agency that you have.
As of right now, CAGI is the largest and most successful civilian private intelligence organization in the world.
That's a great distinction. And I'm pretty proud of the fact that I've built this from scratch myself. You need to be a member.
Send your $45 membership fee to William Cooper, Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322.
You'll get your certificate, your membership card, you'll get the CAGI newsletter, you'll have access to the computer bulletin board database system, you will have substantial discounts to my lectures and workshops as I travel across the country. I just got back from Dallas and Atlanta, Georgia.
2 weeks ago, I was in England at Wembley Arena in London.
And before that, I was in Phoenix, and I'm traveling most of the time, as a matter of fact. You'll also receive a full set of press credentials now. Those of you who have applied previous to this announcement will still get your press credentials. And remember, those press credentials belong to the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. They do not belong to you. Nobody joins CAGI except responsible people who really care about this country, the Constitution, and freedom. And it may surprise you, folks, that in all the thousands of books that I've sold and all the thousands of tapes that I've sold, we've only had 2 checks bounce. Now, that says a lot for the people who are interested in what I do, what I write, and who become CAGI members. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my book, Behold a Pale Horse. It is 500 pages of the most suppressed information ever published in the history of the world, documented. And I've been told this by experts. And you need this book. If you don't have this book, you're going to be crippled without it in the future years. This book outlines everything. It tells you everything that you need to know about the New World Order, what's coming in the future, why it's coming, and who's bringing it about. I'm working on my second book now that goes into more detail on the mystery schools, the secret societies, and the people who are bringing this about, the Kennedy assassination, the ultimate solution. Everything. You will be amazed.
If you'd like to order my book, Behold a Pale Horse, if you are a CAGI member, send $25. That includes postage and handling. If you're not a CAGI member, the price is $30. That includes postage and handling. By the way, folks, this is the only book in the world, to my knowledge, that's guaranteed. If you don't think that it's what you wanted, send it back in the same condition that you got it in. That is brand new, and we will refund your money, no questions asked. Now, if you send it back used or red or cover crinkled back or pages turned down, we will not refund your money. Send it to William Cooper, P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322.
Or you can call Stan at 602-567-6109. That's 602-567-6109. Remember, you need to be a CAGI member. You must become a member of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence just for your own well-being in the coming years. Send $45 for your membership.
Good night, folks, and God bless you all.